Tony Duchesne here, and welcome to Drinks with Tony. Hey, last call for my 8-week online novel writing workshop. Go to tonyduchesne.com/novel. That's tonyduchesne.com/novel. We have 2 openings left, and we're starting at 6:30 on Monday nights for 8 weeks. What are we going to do? We're going to do in-class free writing assignments that will all deal with the specific elements of the novel. We'll also be workshopping your work. We're going to read a book called Scythe by Neil Schusterman, and we're going to dissect it and all of its storytelling devices. He's got such great devices. I would love to have you join. Go to tonyduchesne.com/novel. That's tonyduchesne.com/novel to register for our 8-week course starting on March 18th. Looking forward to your joining us. And now, on with the show. This week on the show, we have Kat Howell. She's the author of Magic Source Codes, The Craft of Reality. We discuss how masturbation can make you rich and so much more.
Hello, I am Kat Howell, and you're listening to Drinks with Tony.
Get on the Drinks with Tony show. Yeah.
You're listening to Drinks with Tony. I'm your host, Tony Duchesne. Today on the show, we have Kat Howell. She's the author of Magic Source Codes, The Craft of Reality. Hello, Kat.
Hello, hello. So excited to be here with you, Tony.
Are you? Are you really? Are you just saying
I am, actually. I am.
Really? Actually, oh, okay.
I love connecting with like authors or people that are in this space as well. And it's such a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, your space is kind of very esoteric, and I love like finding out things esoteric and how are like the reality. So what are the magic source codes? He says, without having anything prepared. And that might be the most, simplistic question he's ever asked in his life.
So the magic source codes is just a beautiful, fancy statement to explain a process of inner alchemy that each and every single one of us is capable of.
When we say the word alchemy, what is the definition of alchemy? Because like for me, I still don't quite know the exact definition, but I kind of feel like I know it a little bit.
Yeah. And I think maybe my definition is not the definition that a lot of the alchemists or spiritualists would have in this group. I use the word alchemy because sometimes when I say magic, people just assume a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat trick, and it can confuse people. Alchemy to me, magic to me, is the process of creating physical change through thought alone, through the non-physical.
So if we have the thought, say I'm a fat dude, I go, I think I'm a thin dude. That alone does nothing, right? Or am I hitting the thought in the wrong direction?
Okay, so law of attraction let me explain the difference between alchemy and typical manifestation.
And I'll keep my mouth shut. Okay.
No. I love that question. I love it. It's perfect. I was always big on mindset. Ever since I started my business and I began to encounter a lot of entrepreneurs, I had never heard of the words affirmation, alignment, mindset. I was never a meditator. And then I hired my first business mentor, and he introduced me to meditation, law of attraction principles. I was really kind of like eye roll. Oh God, what is this stuff? But I was in a rock and a hard place financially. So I did what he asked me to do. And I experienced insane growths, as in my business hit $20 million in 3 years. And this is after years and years of just spinning my wheels in the same spot, revenues yo-yoing, never getting anywhere.
$20 million, that's a large figure to just throw out there. Let's go back to the $20 million. Is that your current business?
I sold that company 2 years ago.
You sold that company. So, yeah. so how does a fellow like me get $20 million in 3 years like you?
Yeah. So let me explain this. Yeah. So a lot of the exercises that I did back then, that was like manifestation, law of attraction. And those exercises were basically getting really, really clear on the intention of what you want. And then a lot of what they do in those circles of manifestation is affirming that to yourself, or in being with the feeling space is what you'll hear them say a lot, right? Find the feeling space. So it was very simple.
I'll keep interrupting you because this is how this show goes. But it's very interesting because I hear that too when it's just like, don't try to manifest something. Think of the feeling you will have when you get there. And then if your body feels that, then the body's kind of ahead of us. The body's almost ahead of our mind. So if the body feels like, oh, wait, this is great having a $20 million business, and the body's already there, the body moves us in that direction. Now, is that a simplistic way for a fellow like me to understand?
Yes, because what we know scientifically is that this emotions determine our decision-making. Without emotions, so when scientists lobotomize the part of the brain in cancer patients that are responsible for emotions, what they discovered is that when you take that out of the brain, people were incapable of even deciding what cereal to have for breakfast or what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
So your every decision, every behavior, every action you take in this physical world is regulated by your emotions. We know this to be true.
So it's tapping a part of the brain that we don't give, we're always interested in the intellect, how intellectual we are, but it's almost higher than the intellect. Is that the case?
So it is this is the alchemy. The emotions are essentially the vibration. That's what people would call as your vibration, right? It's a wavelength makeup that you emit into this wavelength reality. This is not woohoo made up stuff like your phone. This Zoom call is tapping into invisible non-physical wavelengths for us to do this. We inhabit a reality that is made of wavelengths, non-physical, physical particles, dimensions to it. And as humans, we are vibrational beings that receive these vibrations, sound, touch, sight, right? These are all wavelengths, all vibrations. We transmute them through our body, through our senses, but we also send out signals. And these vibrations is essentially the chemistry of your emotions, which in themselves are regulated by your perspectives, your beliefs, your paradigms, your thoughts, right? Those are essentially what regulate your emotions. So at the very beginning, when I encountered meditation and all these things, I was doing very simple exercises around invocation, where I would go test drive the dream cars, even though I couldn't afford them. I would go to open homes that were way beyond my budget. Unbeknownst to me at the time, this is actually a technique of alchemy called invocation. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for pretty much since the dawn of human spirituality, as long as we've been around. Another thing I was doing at that time was something I encountered from Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. The book is whatever, conflicting opinions on it, but there was a part around it, around sexual transmutation. And so this is like masturbating to your desires. So I was mm-hmm. doing that. Again, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to me, that is actually a method of sex magic that's been used for thousands and thousands of years by
alcohol. Okay, now we got to stop there for a second. Masturbating to our desires.
Yes, I highly recommend, because think about this.
The rest of the show is about this, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I love this. So the highest form of creation in this physical world is life itself, right? Because it's like, how do we, two humans get together? I mean, we can do it kind of in the labs and stuff, but
that's not fun. That's not fun.
It is.
And I don't want to test two baby kids.
So you have this, and that is sexual energy behind that, right? It is behind one of the highest forms of physical manifestations that we can create in this physical world, creating life itself, which is sexual energy behind that. So when you start to harness that energy, it's very powerful energy, very, very powerful energy. When you start to harness that energy towards your desires, I've had incredible results. I never said
let's get very specific. We're going to talk about masturbation here for a minute. Okay. Now, my first question is, would it be more powerful if, say, you and your lover have the same emotional goals of sorts, and so you have sex instead of masturbate? There's like a mutual coming together.
Yeah, you can do it with your partner. I've had my partner draw sigils across my breasts and masturbate on them. You can do it with your partner. You don't have to have the same goals. Okay. Because you're thinking about it in your head. What I will say, and I'm not going to comment too much on this because I'm a woman and I don't really know how this works with men that well, but what I am aware of is that what they try to advise men is that you don't come, because actually men lose that sexual energy. And that's why they tell sporting teams not to have sex the night before, because they want the guys to have that sexual energy inside of them because it's so powerful. So once you come as a man, you kind of release it. And what you want to do is actually not ejaculate. So orgasm without an ejaculation. I don't really know the mechanics behind that because I don't have a penis.
All you do is just stop before you do it.
Okay. Yeah.
Really easy.
I don't know how to do it without blue balls, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, you probably get blue balls. But that's kind of tantric as well. That's hitting like
100%. Yeah. So this is about using that, but being intentional about your desires.
I just want to talk about desires first, because they're like test driving a new car and going into open homes that are way out of your price range. Those are material desires. Now maybe it's the weird, I grew up a weird Christian when I was a kid. I got out of the Christian thing, but at the same time, is striving for the material success before understanding how to, what's important about how to make that money. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know what you're saying. And yes, you're right. Inherently your core doesn't care about a nice car. It doesn't care about a lover. It doesn't even care about your kids or travel or any of that. What your core desires and the reason why it seeks relationships or a fat bank account or certain circumstances, and the reason why we buy anything, is because we believe it will make us feel a certain way, right? So the root of the desire is always actually an expansion of a green. Green is an emotional state that feels well within the body. We're all just trying to feel a little bit better, even the serial killers, the psychopaths. So the green is like joy, flow, love, pleasure, play, enthusiasm, gratitude, all of these things. We're seeking expansions of those greens always and always. So when you're in a lot of reds, which is the opposite, overwhelm, anxiety, depressed, I would stay away from trying to manifest specific things like cars or a certain amount of money or a certain relationship, because you're gonna actually get yourself more frustrated, because really you don't care about those things. Those are the middlemen. Those are the conditions that you believe are necessary for you to obtain that expansion of green. You're better off actually making the intention, the abundance, the feeling of abundance, the feeling of confidence, the feeling of security. That's what your core wants. So this is the alchemy. This is the alchemy, is discerning what it is that you desire, what you're telling yourself. And it's very obvious to know what you want when you are clear on what reds you're tracking in, when you become aware of where you are tracking emotionally and where you spend most of your time in the reds. Are you mostly depressed? Are you mostly tired? Are you mostly overwhelmed? Well, through the principle of polarity shared in the Kybalion, we know that there is polarity in emotions as well. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, what you're really saying is you have conditions over your ability to be in a state of flow, because flow is the total opposite to overwhelm. You can work for 15 hours when you're in flow and you can keep going. And it's a compulsion. No one can pull you away from it. But when you're overwhelmed, you work 3 hours and it feels like you've been hit by a bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different experience. So
I'm like sitting here going, you know me.
Yeah. Well, you probably, yeah. So what you're saying when you're in a lot of overwhelm is like, hey, buddy, you have conditions over your ability to create the alchemy of flow within yourself. You're waiting on conditions in your outside reality to line up a certain way for people to do certain things or say certain things. And then you will feel this feeling. What we're talking about here is going, ah, I know that I desire flow because I'm mostly tracking in overwhelm right now. So I'm going to create that alchemy within myself first and foremost. Now, manifestation and law of attraction is like the PG-13 of alchemy. It's the mass market picture, because there's so much stigma around magic and alchemy because of religious, you know, doctrines throughout the years and probably even Akashic traumas that a lot of us carry, right? And so
what is the definition for a guy that doesn't know that much? What's the definition of Akashic?
I'm not a big like Akashic records person, but it's basically collective consciousness.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's kind of like in the human collective right now.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not so like some people might say like, oh, there, if you believe in past lives, for example, a lot of us may have been burned or persecuted for believing in alchemy or practicing these. So the collective consciousness has traumas around this subject matter, right?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, that kind of blew my mind. So, because I've been talking to friends about past lives too, because I've been taking astrology classes. I've been reading about this alchemy stuff. I think even one of my astrology teachers she did a quote from you. And then that's when I went, well, she's interesting. And then I asked if you wanted to come on the show. So where was I before I did that whole thing? Was the
past lives, the
past lives. What? Yeah. So it's like, I kind of understand it and it's, I also understand generational trauma. And I mean, I understand generational trauma because I come from a very dysfunctional family that actually is when it comes to abundance or wealth, they like say it's like they are working class and those people who are rich are just utter evil, awful people. Right. Yeah. So that's been the tapes that they've been rolling over and over again. Now I'm still trying to figure out if I'm totally open to past lives or not. Might be a thing. It might just be this is just me grasping it because I don't know any of it, but it might be generational trauma because there's that working class thing where even with me, it was just like, I stepped away from that and went, no, I'm not just going to get a union job and just be miserable like you people. I'm going to be a writer, but I never thought that I could be a financially big writer. And this thought's kind of new to me because I always thought as a writer, we suffer. We suffer. Van Gogh cut off his ear for a prostitute and had nothing. You know what? I don't go to prostitutes, but the nothing thing feels really comfortable. And that's a bad flow. Right?
So explain this to you very, very clearly. Money simply money represents value.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And value is the worth of something. And like I said at the beginning, we're all just trying to feel better. We purchase things because we're seeking an expansion of green. Even the person who purchases something in vengeance, they're doing it because they're trying to expand a sense of justice, a green, right?
Yeah.
So we're all just trying to expand green. So value is an expansion of green. And if money is simply a measurement of value, money is also an expansion of green. We've been told this really twisted narrative, and especially you're an author and you understand the power of storytelling and how literally the human mind is constructed to everything is a story. Everything we do is a story. And the stories we tell about money are some of the most conflicted ones we have, where the villains are always the bad guys. Poverty is something noble. Wealth is something evil and greedy. And especially in the artistic community, it's like we martyr ourselves because it's like, you know, I'm renouncing this thing. But really, if money is an expansion of agreeing, it is in your soul's purpose for you to obtain more money. And in fact, for the collective consciousness, it enhances everybody. Money in itself is not good or bad. It's just a human construct. It's just a measurement of agreeing. So in manifestation and law of attraction circles, they would tell you, well, just find an affirmation and, you know, I can be a successful author, blah, 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 and affirm this to yourself over and over again and try to feel this feeling space. But the truth of the matter is, and the reason why I started to struggle with this method a bit was because often, like you've identified, those beliefs are so deeply rooted, whether they're from this lifetime or another, who fucking knows, they're so rooted in our subconscious that when we affirm ourselves these things, it's like we have a voice in the back of our mind going, yeah, fucking right. And it actually doesn't do anything, you know? And that's why a lot of people struggle to succeed with manifestation and law of attraction principles. Why I love alchemy and the reason why I decided to immerse myself was when I realized much of the techniques that come from law of attraction are plagiarized directly from ancient spiritual Book of the Dead, what the ancient Egyptians talked about. It comes straight from those books. It's just renamed in a mass market manifestation because to position it as alchemy is too triggering for people. It's too much stigma. People are like, this is weird. I don't want anything to do with it.
So do you think that's why a lot of these people come at it from that angle? Do they understand themselves that it is alchemy, but they don't want to say it because they want to sell more books kind of thing?
I don't actually think they know that because I had to do a lot of digging and it only happened because I encountered a podcast, the episode with a Dr. Dean Radin. He wrote the book Real Magic, really highly recommend. I had a very rational mind. And to me, even though I was meditating, mindset, vision boards, magic to me was like, oh my God, go smoke a joint. Like, what are you talking about?
So what's his name again? So I can know.
Dr. Dean Radin.
Okay.
Amazing guy. He was like, Dr. Joe Dispenza is the one that helped me connect the science to meditation and mindfulness when I first made that jump.
That's an interesting book. Awesome. But at the same time, I also read him. And I don't want to say plagiarizing because we're all just sponges, just regurgitating everything that we've taken in. And it feels like he kind of does that a little bit too, but he does it in a, I like the way he does it though.
He connects a lot of the science, which is what my mind needed.
Yeah.
It needed to go like, oh, this is scientifically backed up. So Dr. Dean Radin did that. Same thing, but for magic, he does a lot of research around psychic, paranormal stuff. And so when I read his book, I started to open my heart up and I started to explore these ancient texts and dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, holy shit, sexual transmutation. Wait, what? This is alchemy? Invocation. What? You read the Book of the Dead and some of these ancient scripts, and what they tell you to create magic in your life is this. This is the process. Think of the desire in your mind. Be still in your body. Feel the sensation in your body. It's the same fucking thing. Now, where magic and alchemy differs and why it's the R18 version is it uses another step called gnosis, altered consciousness. G-N-O-S-I-S. I say it wrong and people call me out on that all the time. This is just the way it sounds.
I thought you said it perfectly.
Okay.
Because you're in New Zealand right now, right?
Yeah, but I'm Canadian. But I've been
you're not like evoking New Zealand accent at all. Okay, Canadian, that makes a lot more sense. Okay.
Evoking.
we're getting off topic on that, and we'll get off topic because then we get back on topic. That's how this works. What brought you from Canada to New Zealand?
Oh, I got imported by my ex-husband.
Oh, okay. You got imported.
you're an import. What do you, now? Yeah. Why now? Why would you say an import? Because that suggests that New Zealand is the authority. When you're an export of Canada, would you?
I'm an export.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So okay. So you got to, so when did you find this? Were you married when you found this these teachings and desires, or was it
after? Law of
attraction.
Yes. Yeah, law of attraction, manifestation. Yes, I was married for that.
Yeah.
And
then that's when you went, oh, wait, I'm with the wrong guy?
I knew for a while. It was one of those things where I had too much fear and we knew it wasn't right. And I'm very grateful. We have a great relationship.
Oh, super that's good.
For that experience. Yeah. But
wait, did you make the did you do the $20 million business while you were married?
Half it was like
did he get half? Oh, he got half on the way out.
He did really well, let's just say that. It paid off.
He's like I attracted his law of attraction.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
All right. We'll get off of your extreme personal life, but go ahead.
I just want to say with that period when I made that money and with those principles, those techniques of like journaling, meditation, vision boards, simple things, I wasn't setting the intention to make $20 million. That was so foreign to me. There's no way I could have even connected with that number as a reality for myself. Again, it was going back to the root of the feeling of what I wanted. And I will say that the other thing that worked really well, and the reason that it all worked really well in reprogramming those subconscious beliefs that I had, because I too grew up around the narratives of money requires hard work, sacrifice, rich people will screw you over. It's not safe to have money around. People will come after you. Don't talk about success, right? Like all of these things I grew up with, they were strong stories in my own narrative. And I struggled with them in my business for 3 years, never really getting anywhere. And a huge shift there was that when I made that investment in that business mentor, it actually placed me in a community of entrepreneurs that were performing at the level that I desired. And I will say that as herd creatures, humans, we're so social.
Yes.
The desire to fit in and belong is one of the strongest drivers in humanity. And they argue it's even stronger than love sometimes, you know, like personal.
Oh,
the desire to fit in and be part of the herd. We're programmed this way and we will normalize what our peers do. It's the fastest way to normalize something for yourself. A new belief system is to just fucking go find new friends that are believing that have normalized that.
Now,
because you spend a bit of time with them and you will normalize that for yourself.
And what was the business? Because it's like, how important was the mission? Like, tell me what the name of it, like kind of what the business was, but how important was the mission of the business to you?
I didn't have a fucking mission. I never had a business plan, never had a mission. I went to university for business. They told me to write all this stuff. Never fucking happened once with any of my businesses. I've built $3 million companies. The intention at the time was pure play and gratitude.
Okay.
Like initially the intention when I hired the business mentor was my husband lost his job. My business was only doing $3,000 a month. We were about to lose
What was the $3,000 a month business? What was that?
Freelancer. I was a freelancer at that time doing social media.
Okay. Like copywriting stuff and all that.
Emails.
Yeah. All right.
Posts, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And
which kind of feels empty too, because that I really liked how you brought up earlier about the feeling, the green feeling, and how I feel like advertising is trying to throw that green feeling at us all the time because they want us to buy their product because their product will make us feel green and product B will make you feel red. Because if you buy Pepsi, you're going to be all red. But if you buy Coke, you're going to be green.
There's actually nothing wrong with that. We want people to expand. We want that. The mistake we make in our society, though, is that we believe that it is in acquiring or obtaining certain things that we expand those greens. So we build conditions on our own well-being. And that's where things get really messed up. We need to teach children from a very young age that your sense of well-being, your greens, are actually unconditional, because you have an imagination which has the capacity to elicit any emotional response you desire. You think of a hot person, it creates a chemistry within you. Sometimes it makes something hard, you know, it literally changes you physically. You think of a delicious chocolate cake that's waiting for you at home in the fridge, it elicits salivation. That's your imagination. It has
my mind elicits a bigger ass. So
going back to the thing at the beginning of the call where you're like, I want to think that I'm a slim person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, what you'll find is like, that is actually literally the only way you will lose weight sustainably. Oh. Even if you go and get whatever that stomach surgery is, yeah. A lot of those people, they actually never align themselves to the vision of a thin person, so they just go and gain the weight again anyways,
right? Because they're not getting to the root, to the core.
They're not alchemizing what they actually want within themselves and embodying it. And this is what happens with people who win the lotto, or yes, professional athletes who come into a lot of money. You hear this phenomenon where most of them go bankrupt. You just made more money than, you know, your whole fucking town earns in a whole year. Congratulations. Like, you're set for life. And they have nothing to show for 3 years later. Why? Because they themselves never vibrationally created the chemistry where they feel safe, they feel deserving, they feel it's okay to be around that money. So they will literally push it away as soon as they get it.
And I also feel like there's a psychological thing there where they don't feel okay already in life. And then so they assume that money's going to change that internal feeling. But money itself doesn't change anything, I don't think.
We're talking about, like, right? Conditional well-being. It doesn't work like that. And that's right. The reason it's twisted in our society. So there's actually nothing wrong with marketers saying, buy my product, it's going to make you feel green. That's actually what value is, what money is. You want to make money, guess what? You're going to have to expand value in other people. It's that simple. You're going to have to figure out what greens you expand in people, and you will have to embody those greens yourself, because we're vibrational beings. People will pick up when you're unaligned, and they will not fucking buy from you. When we meet people that embody the greens that we desire to expand in ourselves, it's like we can't help but give them our money. We're like, I need to be around you. Who are you? We're right. Magnetized to them. Yeah. So you need to, if you want to make more money, money is just value. It's a measurement of value. It's simple. You expand value in others, you expand the greens in others, and you make sure that you're aligned to those greens yourself. So if you're promising security to people, or you're trying to expand a sense of playfulness in people, you better be fucking embodying playfulness, because otherwise we will pick that up and it's never going to work. There's nothing wrong with marketers or people saying, hey, this will expand your greens, buy from me. It's actually how we're expanding. It's our experiences of life. But the mistake we make is thinking, when I have this, or when this happens, then I will be happy and
right.
All of that. It doesn't, that doesn't
bring
work.
It
money
to
will
now.
Never fill in that empty void, right? And
yes.
That's when you get manic billionaires that are never happy. It's never enough, because money cannot do that.
And they go to dominatrixes and they ask for them to put their spiked heels right into their penises.
Well, I think that's like something totally different. Like,
yeah. this is funny because I'm Generation X, and I think that, so that speaking of trauma and generational trauma, I think we have like the baby boomer trauma, the Generation X trauma. Generation X trauma is like, man, I'm DIY, man. I'm never going to sell out, man. You know, and then all of it. And I think you're a lot younger than that. Are you a millennial?
Millennial, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like right on the edge, yeah.
You're on the edge. So they say, but it's just like even words like entrepreneur, I'm going, ugh. Because I like anyone who says, oh, I'm a CEO. I'm like, really? Of what? Because I don't care, you know. And usually they're the CEO of some accounting firm that they put together, but they got to put CEO, and I'm just like, oh, just say you're an accountant, you know. Go ahead.
I feel like I need to have a session with you now.
You need to have a Generation X session.
Yeah, when you get triggered by people, by the way,
mm-hmm.
that is a portal for your own expansion.
Yeah.
When you experience, when someone says to you, like, I'm this, and you're like, it puts you in a red of like, oh, this person. Yeah. What you're telling yourself in that moment is like, ah, there's a portal of alchemy. Shift your perspective on this person. Because if we are collective consciousness, who the fuck are you to judge someone else? You know?
Oh,
you should
I think
be like, you should be like, yeah, this person is so fucking deluded and they're like gloating and it's amazing. And it's like, hallelujah. There's so much fucking diversity and people get to be what they fucking want. It should not trigger you. And if there's
we should be prejudiced.
Huh?
No, I said that in a facetious way, but I do think we do need to judge people in order to understand our, so like one, you're absolutely right. It's the hearing entrepreneur and hearing all that is my problem because I
means you really desire that deep down. Like, and it probably means you'll become a millionaire once you,
well, it's, I think, term. See, here's the thing. I don't want to convey that it's about the word. It's not about the outcome. Like when people are upset about, oh, the 1%, blah, 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 they should do this and this and this. And I'm like, I'm the guy that's like, you don't know what it's like to be a top 1% earner. You do not know what their day is like. You don't know what their friends are like. You've never even been around that. So I never say anything like kind of derogatory to the wealthy class and they also don't know how. It's just like, we just don't know. We're of different tribes. Be nicer to them. And you know, everyone's mad at Elon Musk. And I'm like, he's just a goon. He's a goon. You know, would I hang out with him? Of course I would. And, you know, it's, but I don't, I, so I don't think ill regard in any of those things. I think ill regard of like using and this is the Generation X problem. And this is my problem, but you use certain words. And those were words in the 90s. Where people were just going, oh yeah, I'm CEO. And they're just like, I'm like, you're just trying to get laid, dude. I know what you are. I know what you are. That's the thing. We just came to it. That's what we're going through my session here. And I'm loving this. This is great. But it's the dishonesty it's the inauthenticity, because someone who says I'm an entrepreneur, they could be working for Instacart, which is completely fine. I have no, but if you pretend like you're above what you do, you know, it's like, I worked in warehouses. I've done like the worst jobs in my life to get, you know, and it's fine. What do? I work in a warehouse. I throw boxes. Well, you know, I live in Los Angeles. I've made a film about my life is available out there, and it's with great actors. Oh, great. And so you must make a lot of money. No, I've been an extra on TV shows to make money, you know, it's just like, but it's just like, I'm not suggesting that I've become this Hollywood mogul, even though it could look like it, but it's not. And it's just, and so the, so I think, and plus the social media, I think there's, I think that's also another problem where we're always trying to convey that we're something we're not. Like we could feel really sad inside. But in Los Angeles, if you drive 20 minutes out, there's all these poppies that you can take an Instagram photo in front of. And if you jump just right, it looks like you're having the best day of your life. But inside, all you're doing is weeping all the way home. Not that I've ever done that. I'm kidding. I weep all the time. But the thing is it's about the inauthenticity of it. It's not about the other person's success, because I do want people to be successful. And there are people that I don't want to be successful because I don't like what they do or how they do things. Mm-hmm. You just pulled so much truth serum out of me. This has been a great session. Thanks. What?
Yeah, I'll send you the invite. No, but
does that make sense? Does that like kind of bring the whole story together of why
I still think there's a portal of expansion there for you.
Okay.
The thing is your reality is a mirror of you. Your experience of reality is a result of your perspectives and the paradigms and the beliefs that you have. There is every version of reality, every truth, polarity exists. So yes, there's people that cheat. There's people that lie. There are people that use money in a bad way. But so too are there people that use their wealth for great good, that it make money by actually expanding and ethical ways and all of that. And
I don't even mind if they're selfish.
Huh?
I don't even mind if they're selfish or not totally ethical, just as long as they're not being unethical and ruining people. You know, some people just need a 7-floor house all to themselves. Yeah,
but the thing is, if your reality is a reflection of your perspectives, your thoughts, your paradigms, and you are focused on a version of reality where you are actively observing to the point where it's triggering an emotional response from you, of dishonesty, inauthenticity, lying, and all of that, what do you think you're going to get back from your reality? What do you think you're going to start experiencing?
I'm attracting that is what I'm doing.
For sure.
Right?
100%.
Oh my God.
You're only focused on one part of the truth. There's actually multiple truths. There's a lot of people that don't do that. There's a lot of people that claim the word entrepreneur that are very ethical, that are very authentic about it. There's actually nothing wrong about a word. Like, it's like everyone's getting up in arms about gender things now. And but words are just words. They're just symbols that we use as a method of communication, you know? They shouldn't, if someone says fuck and you, get depressed because somebody said that to you, come on, you know? You shouldn't let words affect your well-being in that way. So if it's triggering an emotional response to you, what I would say is that is actually a portal that you're inviting yourself to shift your perspective outwards, expand to view a different version of reality, because it's telling you, hey, you're looping yourself into experiencing more of this shit. You're making your sense of security and acceptance conditional on what people are saying. And if someone says something you disagree with, it's like, you're a fucking cheap, bah. You shouldn't use that word, but that's actually not the solution, because actually you'll just attract more of those people. And then it will feel like everyone's like that. You know, I remember one time I got looped into that with the marketing and advertising space, where it was like, everybody's like, you know, everybody's trying to cheat everybody. And I had the same narrative. And it was like my newsfeed was full of these people. I was encountering full of news articles. Like, my reality was validating this. It was like, yeah, everyone's a scam artist. This sucks. And I had to really detach myself from that to perceive the other version of reality and to focus myself on that instead. Because again, the only thing I have sovereignty over in this reality is really the alchemy within myself. And if my reality is the reflection of my own perspectives and my own paradigms, it is my only job to shepherd this alchemy within myself. So that's what we do with, that's why I do magic. And
is so interesting. So I'm sitting there going on this rant thinking that I'm right, when essentially all I'm doing is exposing my negative portal of sorts to you.
And we all have this, by the way. Yeah. And it's harder for us to pick up on our own. Like, I am very good at picking it up with other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it's me, it's like, even when my partner will point it out to me, I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I'm like, fuck, it is a red. Every time we feel red, by default, we are telling ourselves our core is in disagreement with that perspective. Every time.
But at the same time, we're always going to feel red at some point, right? I mean,
always feel reds, and we should never look to eradicate reds, because reds are what allow us to discern what we want. Hmm. When we experience overwhelm, we launch a desire of more time freedom, for example.
Yeah. Right?
When we experience a narcissistic relationship, we discern a desire to be in a loving relationship.
Right.
So without the reds, we would have no expansion. We would have no growth. It would be like this homogeneous glob of love, and nothing would grow, nothing would expand. It is through the reds that we guide ourselves, that we communicate what we want and how to give it to ourselves. The mistake we make in our society is we go, I feel red. I feel frustrated. What is causing this? Oh, it's this person. It's this. It's the economy. It's the government. It's this. And then we attack these things. We go in resistance to them. And we wonder why our lives get harder and harder. And we get more broke and more fucking frustrated by the day, because we're focused on a red. We're focused on resistance. What else are we going to attract? What else could we possibly experience from reality when that is our perspective, our focal point?
And so, that's I just want to. So what's interesting is most of us, I think maybe the most of the general population, don't get out of the reds because the reds actually kind of feel comfortable to them because that's what they know. Is that a way to say it?
Yeah, so, because we because
it's a status quo, right? Yeah.
Well, we know even the comfort of the red, the comfort of the red is more comfortable than the unknown.
Right.
We really hate the unknowns.
And I've experienced that myself. And it's like even when I did receive, I received a sum of money that really set me up for a while. And I was more of a wreck. I'm usually a wreck, which I'm trying to work on. And I have therapy on Thursday, but maybe I should go to you instead of my therapist. Don't tell her I said that. Dr. Hogan, if you're listening right now, I didn't say that. Please keep me as your client. No, but it's, I forgot where I was going with that because I thought I said something funny and then I got excited that I said a funny joke and then you laughed and then here we are. So I forgot my thought.
We both had a brain fart.
But it's so interesting. Here's what I've been thinking about as like, because I teach writing as well. And we talk, you know, you talk about the hero's journey all the time and the status quo. So it's about getting, what our hero needs to do is get out of status quo. And that's when there's high conflict and we have to write that high conflict and the hero accepts the journey and the journey is completely uncomfortable. And that's why we watch movies, because we're watching this person go completely out of their comfort zone. Whether it's an action movie or a romantic comedy, there's always a status quo and then they have to get out of it. And in real life, I don't think lots of people like to get out of that status quo. That status quo is so comfortable because it's what we know. So yeah, what I know.
The great news? Yeah. The great news is your core always has your back. And the minute you discern a desire, you will invite. So you will get this so well because you do writing workshops and you're an author. Every story, I mean, there is a type of story structure called hyperrealism, maybe as you know, that doesn't involve conflict. But other than that, every story works within the confines of conflict, friction, and resolution. Yes. We use chaos as a mechanism of catalyst of change because spontaneous transformation is so rare. And very difficult. And actually, people that demonstrate spontaneous transformation are often labeled as psychotic or like ADHD, right? Just doesn't fucking happen. It takes a challenge. It takes a moment of friction for the protagonist to build the resilience, the confidence, the skill sets needed to save the day, live happily ever after, until the next quest comes along. Hyperrealism is a story structure without conflict, and it fucking tanks in mainstream.
Well, it's boring.
So fucking boring.
Yeah.
That's why reality TV shows, they want the most dramatic people on there, the most out there, because they know, you know, like we want to see that chaos. We want to see that conflict. And so when you're experiencing a life of a lot of chaos and conflict and resistance, financial anxiety, lovers that leave you, rejection, it feels hard and hard. What you're trying to do is invite yourself to the inner catalyst through chaos. So you are trying to save yourself, even though you feel comfortable in anxiety and it's scarier to meet the unknown. I promise you, you're going to attract a lot of situations that will deepen the anxiety and take you to such a fucking level where you change. Some people don't get there because they don't have the right tools or guidance, or they, you know, and they stay. But most of the time, what you'll experience and what you'll see through the phenomenon of your life is like the best things that ever happened to you typically happened on the back of the worst fucking thing. You lost your job, you started your business. The woman divorced you, you met your soulmate. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Well, that one hasn't happened to me yet.
Chaos as creation.
Well, no, I mean, after the divorce, I didn't find my soulmate yet. But that's like a whole nother 3 hours. But it's interesting, that's because the hero's journey thing becomes up. So it like you call it catalyst, and catalyst is another word that we use for inciting incident. An inciting incident in film is just like, here's the offer. And then the hero rejects the offer. I can't do that. I can't do that. Then I got to do it. And that's just three act structure. And the so we're probably getting Catalyst all the time, but we're doing what they call debate in Act One, where we're like, no, no, no.
And then the catalysts get worse, and they get, the more you connect to that desire, the catalysts will get bigger and the resistance will get bigger and more and more and more. And then something will pop. You know, a lot of the times it's like, let's say we use a desire. Like I had this when I was trying to build my business, you know, like really wanting a specific outcome and like, oh, I really desire this. Why isn't this working? And I was like all this weird, gross energy around it. I was jealous of people that had success. I was frustrated by my own progress. Vibrationally, I was not a fucking match to what I wanted at all. I was like on a totally different spectrum. And then it was like clients leaving me, bills coming left and right, like chaos after the blah, blah, blah. And it gets to a stage where you're just like, fuck it, you know, fuck it, whatever. I'm just going to create what I want to create. Like that's one example of how chaos like serves those catalysts in our lives. And we've experienced those moments where it's like we reach a space of like surrender, or sometimes it's like giving up. And then suddenly the fucking thing that we wanted just pops in our lap right there. We've all experienced this, you know?
Yeah.
That sensation of release. So once you start to connect to a desire, and sometimes it's not even conscious, you don't even know what it is, but your core is like, oh, because you're experiencing reds by default, you're connecting to a desire by default. Once you start to connect to that desire more and more, if you don't intentionally create that transformation, that alchemy, you bet your bottom dollar chaos is going to come in to help you do that, because that's how powerful you are. And you use, as a storyteller, as a human who is inherently a storyteller, you use friction to create the changes, right?
Right.
So so it's not a bad thing. And that's also why we don't want to eliminate reds, because they're very healthy. They're very powerful. Now, what we don't want to do is get looped into a cycle of depression for like 10 years and, you know, experience anxiety for the rest of our lives and suffer in this state. And that's what a lot of people are experiencing, is like they experience red. They think it's because of an outside circumstance, right? It's a condition. And if things change, then they would be happier. They fight off the things that they think are responsible. It's your fault. You said this, or you dumped me. You broke up with me. It's your fault. Unbeknowingly looping themselves more and more into the chaos, into the reds. When really all that was happening when you experienced the red was simply a communication cycle within yourself that said, hey, you've made play, the polar opposite to anxiety, play and courage. Play is a vibration of courage. When you're in play, you can bungee jump off a building.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, you might be terrified for your life, but you'll fucking do it. When you're in anxiety, it's like you cannot even fucking bring yourself to do a little amount of courage.
You just gave me a panic attack saying bungee jumping off of
So when you're feeling anxiety, what you're saying
now is, I have to do
you
it.
You have conditions over your ability to feel play, to feel courage. It is an invitation for you to alchemize that sensation within yourself first, not to go to war with the things that you attracted to bring this desire to life. You created those people that are triggering you, because you're the one who perceived it like that. You're the one who interpreted that story that way. So to fight the people that you think are responsible, like I'm going to go to war with the economy or the government, and that's how I'm going to feel better. You're fighting the conditions. And it's the same thing as when we're saying money will never make you happy, right? Because money is like it's the middleman. It's the condition.
Money's what we use to trade.
It's not money's the actual thing that you want. So it's the same thing when you go to war with like the chaos itself. I'm going to stop this. You actually like loop yourself into more chaos, because you're missing the point. And so your core is going to be like, man, this bitch is not getting it. Throw some more fucking shit her way.
So on that note, and so it's because there are things in life where we're just like, hey, wait a second, that is wrong. And we do want to go in there and be like, you're wrong. And then, you know, there's that urge to protest, and there's that urge to bring people along with you. What can we do instead of that would kind of outgrow that wrong? Or maybe it's not wrong and we're the problem.
So this is not about saying like you can never speak out against injustice or, you know, fight for rights or things like that. But there's a subtle vibrational difference between somebody who is protesting from a space of like, you're wrong, you're the fault, you need to go. That's a condition. It's a, sure, maybe they get rid of that. I promise you something else will pop up that they'll be upset about. And what, there, and what yes. you tend to find of protesters is that they live a life where everything pisses them off.
Yes.
Everything. Because they're attracting that paradigm. They're literally yeah. attracting all the things that trigger and piss them off.
Yeah.
The difference is like
Mother Teresa, why we're good, I
said, sorry?
No, I'm just like this is what scares me to death is this is why we're getting Trump next year for president, because everyone's going back at it again. And I'm just like, you guys. And it's just like he was on the cover of The New Yorker again. And I'm like, you're why are you attracting this? You're doing this. And then people get mad at me when they're like, but I'm like, all you do is say, you know, I'm online dating right now. And I see these and they're just like, no Trump supporters. And I'm like, oh, you're already yelling at me. I don't support Trump, but you're already yelling at me. So no. And it's just such an okay, virtuous thing. But I'm like, you keep saying no to a certain thing and you keep saying, he's not going to grab my pussy. And I'm like, yeah, I know he's not. I mean, why is this in the front of your mind? Get it out of the front of your mind. Let's talk about other stuff.
Yeah, when you're saying no to something, I hate my debt. I don't want any debt. I don't want to feel broke. I don't want to feel what you're really saying is like your vibration, your strongest vibration in that moment is the focal point of the lack, the gap, the scarcity of that thing itself, which means you'll actually attract more when we fight chaos.
Attract more of the problem.
It's a problem to you, but right. The trigger, if you will. So just back to the protesting, when you're fighting for and from a space of green, like fighting for a vision, it's a difference vibrationally than fighting against something. And like,
yes.
So, and that's what Mother Teresa said. She said, I will never like go to a anti-war protest. I'll go to a peace rally. That's what I'll go to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because see, actually we that's stick it
really
ourselves.
Powerful. And I feel like I wish the human collective would understand that more when we're trying to change things. It's not the people, it's like usually in an argument, the person screaming the loudest is usually the one that's in the wrong. Usually. And it's just because they know inside they're in the wrong, so they gotta come out in this big fire. And it's just like, you know, just stay over there. But this, let me ask you one last question. We don't have to put time limit on it. But what was I just going to ask you now? Because I said the word one last question, and then it threw me off. What is the first thing we can do in order to start to getting to a space where we are, where we can build ourselves up to attract the greens? What's kind of the first thing we can do?
The first thing that so your imagination is really the key and it's the secret to it all. And you have this muscle, this thing in between your head that is your superpower. Like no other species possesses this. It's wild what has the human species has done because of our imagination. Most of us, however, it kind of does its own thing and it spends most of its day thinking of the worst case scenarios or going back into the past and like reliving things, or you know, it's like got its own heartbeat doing its own fucking thing. And we have no,
that's my whole life. That's what I keep trying to get over. Just keep. Okay. So how does a fellow like
me? We're never taught from a young age how to command this muscle. We're never taught that. So it kind of does its own thing. It's very powerful, extremely powerful. Zoom, everything we're experiencing was because of a human imagination at some stage or time. Mm. Very powerful, but it does its own thing. The key is you got to start to command it again. And it's going to be like the process of doing the splits. It's not going to happen in a day. And in fact, it may feel difficult for you at first when you begin this because it's rusty and you haven't done this. But if you are intentional about it, just as you are with the splits, if you keep stretching every day, within a few weeks, within a few months, you'll be able to do the splits. It's that simple. There's no big science behind it. You're capable of harnessing your imagination and commanding it and creating the alchemy, giving yourself the greens that you desire, unconditional. You know it's unconditional when you're not aware that it's missing anymore. Like if you were single and you wanted a partner and you're still going, I'm meditating or I'm imagining, where is she? Why isn't she here? It's not unconditional because you still got one eyeball there. You'll know it's unconditional when you don't even fucking care if that person shows up anymore. You're so happy being single. You're so connected. You feel so worthy. You feel the greens that you wanted through the relationship. The moment you crack that, your reality will fucking change. It's pure magic. There's no other words to explain it. So, to do that every day, you sit mm-hmm. with yourself, and you can do this in several methods. I did a call this morning with a group of alchemists, and we created a mandala necklace with beads. Basically, every bead that we went on, we held the feeling space of the green that we desired. You can do that by thinking of past memories. So for example, if you wanted to touch the sensation of abundance and begin to alchemize abundance so that you can experience abundance in your life, you would ask yourself, have I ever felt abundant in my life? Was there ever a moment or experience? Yes. Okay. Go to that memory, involve your senses as much as you can to elicit that chemical emotional response. Perfect. If you've never experienced abundance before, I've talked to some people who have never felt self-acceptance or self-love. They've never had that their whole life. So they don't even have a memory. Mm-hmm. You imagine a world, because guess what? Your imagination can do that. It can make fucking shit up. It can make a world where you are God. You control everything. What is happening? How do you feel? And at first, this will feel hard to touch those emotions. You can imagine yourself making a cauldron and putting the different feelings in there. Like what? Use your imagination, you know? Like whatever compels that. But at first it will feel hard and rusty and maybe even a little bit frustrating. Avoid doing this exercise when you're in red. Just do this when you feel good. But bit by bit, the more you do this every day, and it doesn't even have to be that long, every single day, within a matter of weeks and certainly months, you will experience a total shift in your well-being first. That's what's going to happen first. Because reality is a residual. So your reality will take a moment to calibrate to your dominant vibration and shift. But you'll experience that well-being unconditionally first. And then you will begin to see threads. So evidence of that which you desire existing. It'll start to pop up more and more in your reality. Be very appreciative and celebrate the fuck out of that when you see that. The worst thing you can do when that starts to show up is become envious or jealous. Like, oh, that person, let's say you want financial abundance and you see somebody who demonstrates that. A lot of us will go, oh, well, he must have a small dick, you know, whatever. His wife must be a bitch. You got to celebrate that and be like, oh, that's a thread.
You have to go get a small dick. Showing me
this exists, you know, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll start to see that compounding and it's like, I can't even explain it. The magic you'll create will be shit that literally will be so hard to explain to other people because it's going to be so synchronicitous and the way it's going to happen, you're going to be like, yeah.
So to get back to like someone who's at zero and hasn't done this before, when we're talking about the imagination, essentially we're saying, sit down with yourself for 5 minutes when you're in a green zone and imagine where you want to be or imagine the feeling you want to have and where you want to be. Is that essentially the exercise that they would need to do?
Yes. But so, and then with alchemy, we tie in Gnosis because this is the altered state of consciousness that allows us to park the rational mind, that little voice that's like, yeah, right. As if like, park that. And so you do that while you're in a state of Gnosis and it's like a loudspeaker. Gnosis right. can be achieved in many ways, cold plunges, masturbation, sex magic, meditation, ecstatic dancing, psychedelics, even some people have used food, hypnagogue lights. Like there's thousands of ways. In fact, you're doing it naturally as well. Every time you enter a state of flow, of love, or of play, you're actually in a state of gnosis, because what they've shown through studies is when you're in a state of flow, you're in an autotelic experience where you distend time and your mind, your rational mind is like out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So we naturally enter these states, and we can use tools and techniques and sometimes plant medicines to assist that. Not necessary to use plant medicines if that's not your thing. There's thousands of ways to get in there, float tanks, you know. And it's a process of dating yourself a little bit to figure out what you like and mm-hmm. what works for you. Like I obviously love masturbating. With some mm-hmm. other people, it's like,
well, it's been camp. Weird because I haven't seen your lower half, and I think you've been like, I'm like, yeah. Wow, she's really glowing. And then now I just totally yeah. realized it's like, it's not an earthquake in New Zealand.
It's my magic wand. Every witch has a wand, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah. It's so interesting as women get into this is what I've noticed, and I'm a dude, so I don't know a lot about it, but like women in their coming into their sexual peak in their like 30s and 40s, when like guys, we get it at the worst time, man. We're getting it at 15 and 16, and we're just like losing our minds, and then all of a sudden the women come around, they're like, we're ready, and we're like, huh? What?
I think I was ready my whole life, a long time.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, that's what. Yeah, I hear good things about Canadian exports. Kat, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, last call for my 8-week online novel writing workshop. Go to tonyduchesne.com/novel. That's tonyduchesne.com/novel. We have 2 openings left, and we're starting at 6:30 on Monday nights for 8 weeks. What are we going to do? We're going to do in-class free writing assignments that will all deal with the specific elements of the novel. We'll also be workshopping your work. We're going to read a book called Scythe by Neil Schusterman, and we're going to dissect it and all of its storytelling devices. He's got such great devices. I would love to have you join. Go to tonyduchesne.com/novel. That's tonyduchesne.com/novel to register for our 8-week course starting on March 18th. Looking forward